Podcast DIY, episode number 7, the GarageBand edition. Hi, and welcome to Podcast DIY, Do It Yourself. I'm your host, Wayne McPhail. Those of you who are interested in all things Macintosh will know that last week was the Macworld exhibition in San Francisco. And, of course, the big news out of there was that there are now two Mac computers, the iMac that is out now and the MacBook Pro, which is coming out next month, that have Intel chips inside of them. But as well as those hardware upgrades, there were a couple of significant upgrades to the iLife suite of products that Apple has produced. One of the most powerful applications inside of iLife is GarageBand. And GarageBand has been used by musicians to produce their music, and you'll hear a great track by Daphne Calfon from Toronto at the end of this podcast that was produced in the GarageBand. But it's also been used by podcasters to produce their shows, the Don and Drew Show, for example, and the MacCast. But up until now, there hasn't been any podcast-specific tools built into GarageBand. That's changed with iLife 06. In fact, when you fire up GarageBand now, you're asked if you want to produce a podcast. And if you say yes, then you're dropped into the podcast studio inside GarageBand. Now, at first glance, the podcast studio doesn't look much different than the old GarageBand interface, but in fact, there's some really great features when you start looking around a bit. And I'd like to demonstrate one of them for you just as soon as this piece of music ends. You'll notice that as I start speaking now, the volume of that music track drops down. And if I pause again, it comes back up and then drops as I start speaking. And that's called auto-ducking. It means that the volume of one track is inversely proportional and controlled by the volume of another track. In this case, my music track is being slave to my narration track, and I can set that in GarageBand on a track-by-track basis. So it's a very powerful and useful feature because it means you don't have to go in and hand-tweak each of the volume shifts that you want to do. That's just one of the features that is nice for podcasting. The other is that you now can pick how you want the pieces of music and the little snippets of sound effects, etc., in GarageBand displayed. Generally, you'll see them by genre or instrument type, but in the podcast studio, you'll see jingles, stingers, and sound effects, and there's some nice jingles and short sound effects that I'll play a few for you right now. You get the idea. There's lots of those available, and there's a variety of music packs that you can get. They're called jam packs that are available for GarageBand for even more. And actually, the quality of the tracks is quite amazing, especially the world music tracks are quite beautiful. And a new world music track just came out, or pack just came out for GarageBand, which is terrific. Now, that's not the only advantage to the new version of GarageBand. You also have it automatically queued up when it starts with a voice narration track for a female voice, a male voice, jingles, radio sounds, like sound effects, are all in their own tracks, and they're already built in and ready to go in GarageBand when you fire up the podcast studio, which is very handy. But the other thing that is extremely powerful about the new version of GarageBand, and I have mixed feelings about it, although I think it is powerful, is the ability to do enhanced podcasts. And for those of you who don't know, enhanced podcasts are podcasts that can contain images, hypertext links, textual notations, very, very powerful, but very specific to the iTunes Music Store. And in fact, some of you may not have realized that you can associate photographs with a podcast and might think, well, how how do you do that? I mean, podcasts are meant to be listened to, and that's true. But if you listen to them in the iTunes Music Store, at the bottom left of the interface, there's a square where you normally see the icon or the image that represents the podcast in general. Well, that image can change based on the time that you're in the podcast, and you can associate images with specific aspects of a podcast or specific chapters. And with enhanced podcasts, you can actually divide your podcast into individual chapters. And if you're listening on an iPod, you'll actually see fine lines along the timeline of the podcast that you can jump to with the right button, the right arrow button on your iPod to move to the next chapter. And each of those chapters can be associated with an image. And in the iTunes Music Store, you can actually click on that image and subscribe to a podcast or go to a URL. So extremely powerful and gives you all sorts of opportunities to do some very cool stuff in terms of photo essays, that kind of thing. The disadvantage of it is that it is very iPod, iTunes Music centric. Now, some other podcast aggregators, which is a piece of software that you can use to collect your podcasts that you subscribe to, will display the images that are produced by Enhanced Podcasts, but not everyone will. And if you just download the MP3, some programs may have trouble playing it. It somewhat limits the universality of your podcast, and you need to keep that in mind. That said, enhanced podcasts used to be extremely complicated to make. In fact, you used to have to go in to do some Unix code in the terminal of OS X on the Mac to actually do them successfully. There have been some third-party apps that have come out that allow you to do enhanced podcasts a little more easily, but now it's really easy because you can do it all inside of GarageBand. You can drag images from iPhoto and sounds from iTunes, which are also part of the iLife suite on the Macintosh, into your timelines and line them up exactly with the music you're recording or the voiceover track you're doing. So extremely easy to produce a very robust podcast. And I can see some real great applications for this. I teach at Mohawk College, and I could see doing an enhanced podcast with slides from Keynote, which is part of the iWork suite on the Macintosh side, and time those slides to voiceover narration and basically deliver a class on an iPod. So it could be a very, very powerful tool, but again, almost, you know, pretty much exclusive to the iTunes music world, iPod world. So be mindful of that. But the other great feature of GarageBand is that you can apply all the necessary tags to your podcast inside of GarageBand. For those of you who have been publishing podcasts on your own, you'll know that to get a correct RSS feed and have it displayed, your podcast displayed properly, you really want to have your tags associated with the author of the podcast, the title of the podcast, whether there's a photo associated with it, whether it's explicit or not, all filled out correctly, especially if you're submitting your podcast to the iTunes Music Store. And you've had to do that in either iTunes or using other kinds of encoders like LAME to properly attach those tags. Now within GarageBand, all your tagging, including explicit tags, including the special tags that iTunes expects for an RSS feed like the explicit tag, can all be done within GarageBand. And then you can export it out to iTunes and or publish it directly to a website. There's a new app that has come out as part of the iLife suite called iWeb. And iWeb allows you to create some quite wonderfully looking websites very, very simply. And one of the kinds of websites you can now produce through iWeb is a podcast. And you can simply, within GarageBand, when you're finished doing your recording and any post-production you want to do and any kind of tagging, you can simply upload it to your .Mac account, which is an account that gives you server space on the Apple servers, and it will automatically create a podcast with some really nice templates. So that's all the podcast features in the new version of GarageBand. I thought I would bring it to your attention because it's just out, it's just new, and I think that a lot of beginning podcasters and even experienced podcasters will be making use of these new features in GarageBand. Now, In celebration of GarageBand, I wanted to feature a really fun song that I discovered the other day from a Toronto musician named Daphne Calfon, who's written a great tune called I Love My Mac. So I'm going to go out with that song, and thanks for listening to Podcast DIY. Hope you'll join me for the next episode, and please check out the other podcasts on the Rabble Podcast Network. For the Rabble Podcast Network, I'm Wayne McPhail. See you next time, and here's I Love My Mac by Daphne Calfon.
Whenever I want to plug in a peripheral, it recognizes it right away. I don't have to sweat and pray for a small miracle. It's just great for me. I'm as happy as can be, and I have better productivity. It's the only one for me. There's never a need to think about security. Trojan horses and viruses, they don't stand a chance. They are such a rarity. It's just working fine. I have such peace of mind. And there's a bot of a special kind. So sensible, so beautiful. Oh, it's the only one for me. Any software I use is always so reliable, and I can find almost anything. Forums, chat rooms, message boards, and news groups are commendable. It's all there for me. One big family of Mac enthusiasts from sea to sea.
iTunes, QuickTime, Final Cut, AppleWorks, IMAX, Tiger, FireWire, USB, iMovie, iGen, and iDVD. But the greatest one for me, it's been the answer to my dreams. It's the best app in the land, the funnest program ever known to man. Why, GarageBand?
Sensible, they rock.